Well, we're starting off our October series today, The Exceeding Greatness of His Power for Such a Time as This. I'd like to just start off with something just a little bit on the lighter side today, because, you know, we're hearing so much about follow the science. And that's what they're not doing. They're not following the science. So I guess we have to say what the science is, but this little factoid surfaced recently about this is a sign, and I'm quoting this. It says, scientists have discovered, listen to this, women, you're going to love this. Scientists have discovered that women who gain weight live longer, much longer than the men who mention it. That's right. Is that in the Bible? No, that's not in the Bible. No, thou shalt not kill is in the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. I kind of led you down the trail on that one, didn't I? But look, we live in a turbulent world right now. It's people are facing stuff. I mean, really. But where's our focus? On Jesus. See, if you're looking at the problem, you're going to see what? If you're looking at the answer, you're not looking at the problem. If you're looking at the answer to the problem, you're listening to Jesus. You're following Jesus. You're walking in the person who walked on water, who calmed the storms, who opened blind eyes, deaf ears, who did what no man ever did before him or since. He knew how to use faith according to the highest wisdom of God. Powerful stuff. But no matter what you're facing, I want you to know something. The Bible calls it temporal or temporary. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. says this, for our light affliction. Somebody might say, what do you mean a light affliction? This is a real trial. Well, Paul just went through his trials just before this, in some verses before this, when we're cast down, persecuted, but not forsaken, and all these things. He went through a lot more than you'll ever go through. And he said, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, or temporal, temporary. Old King James says temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, it says that they're not invisible to those who walk by faith. It just says they're not seen with these eyes, but you see them on the inside. It's an inward type of sight, of vision that we have as believers. And we're going to have to develop that inner vision a little bit as we develop our spirit man. Temporal is always subject to the eternal. Which is more powerful, the eternal that's going to stand forever, or the temporary that's going to, you know, pass away? Amen. So anyhow, the Word is eternal. So if we walk in the Word, it will always overcome the temporary situation. Walk in the truth. So today we're talking about the exceeding greatness of God's power for us in this hour of fuss. That kind of rhymes. Thank you. God's a poet too. So let's get into our weekly confession. As we get into this thing, I want to... Are you ready to see the unseen? Okay, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. Incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability overpowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to get into a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. Is this cutting in and out, this mic? Okay. A little bit? Okay. This prayer in Ephesians 1 is something that when my brother and I were starting to study the Bible, we heard a tape by Kenneth Hagin called You Can Have What You Say. And the more I listened to it, the more revelation I got. And then we started ordering his books, and I believe it was the Believer's Authority book, where he mentioned that he prayed this prayer every day, two or three times a day, for about 6 months. And all of a sudden, the Bible took on a whole new meaning for him. His life took on a whole new meaning for him. Because what he was praying here in this prayer started happening in him. And it'll happen for you too. Here's what he said. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Oh, come on. What he is praying here is for you to see what he saw. And what he saw was what happened in Christ when he raised him from the dead, when God raised Jesus from the dead. He saw something amazing here. He saw something so powerful that it formed the church. This is the formation of the church right here. This is the formation and Jesus ascending unto all of his advocacy ministries as the advocate general of the church, the Lord, the mediator, the intercessor. Everything that he does now in his present ministry is in this prayer that needs to be revealed to us. See, it says, let's go back to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light. That's what he's talking about. That be flooded with light. So we're talking here about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Not just who he is, but everything that he has accomplished for us and everything that is real and true in him. Now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is not just something that you hear or something that you mentally ascend to and say, yeah, I got that. Yeah, you'll never get it all. As long as you're in this earth. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge is not something you hear, it is something you see. Say that. The spirit of wisdom, and revelation is something I see. Why? Because it says here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul saw something amazing. Now, the three things he focused on is the hope of your calling. His calling you is an invitation to partake of all of these things. So this prayer is not just Paul praying for the Ephesians. This prayer is praying for everybody in the church who believes. Amen. That means us and it's now. Mm-hmm. It's not reserved for the Old Testament, you know, for the old believers in the beginning of the church. This is now. Remember, the word is eternal. It doesn't change. Amen. It doesn't fade with the fads. How's that? The hope of his calling, the riches. You know, you have, Rick Renner, the Greek scholar, talked about this inheritance as being a treasure trove that is beyond anything that you can imagine. And even if you could get to the end of it, it would just multiply itself. You cannot reach the end of all the wealth and riches in this inheritance that is yours in Christ. So revelation knowledge is being discussed here. Paul saw what happened. And I'm getting revelation. My brother and I used to study this, and things happened to me too. When I started praying this prayer and praying this prayer back in the 70s, I started to see things differently too. I started to understand the will of God. And in my fellowship with other believers, I could tell that I saw the Bible differently than them. I saw that the will of God was to heal everybody. They didn't see that. I saw that that God had already accomplished everything that he's going to do about our healing. We just come and receive it. They're still asking God to do something that, according to his word, he's already done. He's already healed us. He's already provided for us to come and tap into.
Amen.
I saw a finished work in this that they weren't seeing. And I couldn't explain it to them. I couldn't tell them. And the more I told them, the more frustrating it got, because they couldn't see it. Why? Because it's not something that you can explain or teach. It's something that has to be revealed. Peter got this in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" He said, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you unlock on earth is unlocked in heaven. And whatever you lock on earth is locked up in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of God that unlock God's power come through the revelation of who Jesus is. It needs to be revealed to you. And if it's not revealed to you, it can't be taught to you. But here's how it comes. How does it come? How does that revelation come to us? Through prayer.
Amen.
By praying this prayer. And Brother Hagin said this. He said, "I suggest that you pray this prayer every single day, not three times a week, not five times a week, but every single day, preferably more than once a day." He did it about three times a day for about 6 months. That was in the winter of 1947 to 48. And the Bible just blew up on him. I mean, it just became the reality of his life. And he started to walk in the reality of these truths. Once they were truth concepts, are now his reality. And he's walking in them. That was in 47, 48. And then in 49, Jesus started to appear to him and appeared to him over and over. And he had conversations with the head of the church that lasted an hour and a half. A couple of them did. And he taught him things. He opened up the word and revealed it to him. Now, God is no respecter of persons. If you are hungry after God, he'll appear to you too. He'll talk to you. He'll show you these things. He is not playing hide and seek, but he wants your heart. And he wants your heart to be open to him. And when these things are revealed to you, you can walk in them, because they'll become more real to you than your everything that you can see. Amen? See, the four Gospels, we see all the events leading up to the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's where it ends. And we see what happened to Jesus through the Gospels. But Paul's revelation, which we call the revelation of Paul, shows you what happened in Jesus, and it shows you what happened from God's point of view. And that's what this is bringing you. Now you're sitting You're praying, sitting in God's throne on his lap with him, and you're praying this prayer from his point of view, and you're getting to see it how he saw it. The resurrection, let me just say this, and I've studied E.W. Kenyon, many others, Andrew Murray, on the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus, you know, other people were raised from the dead, but the resurrection of Jesus was so powerful. The ability and the demonstration of power that was released from God in heaven when Jesus was raised from the dead was the most powerful display of power ever released in the history of the universe. Why did he need so much power to be released? Are you waiting for an answer? I'll tell you why. Because that power that was released from him was enough to undo all the works that Satan did in Adam. Whatever you're going through, whatever you have gone through in your life, God's already made it totally right. Because what happened to Jesus is far greater than anything happened to you. And when God raised him from the dead, it says that you... Let's go on to this. In chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6, it says, but God, this is a continuation of the same prayer. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, in God's mind, you were raised up too. Out of your death, your dead spirit, and you were raised up together with Christ, it says. You were made alive with Christ and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You have a seat of authority with Jesus in heaven that is equal to Jesus and his authority in heaven. As a joint heir with Christ, fully supported by the Father, that's you. That's what that did. And everything that God sent, that power that raised him from the dead. I mean, Paul had to use four different adjectives in this prayer to even describe what the power that was in the resurrection of Jesus. With dunamis, ischos, and kratos, and the exceeding greatness of his power, which mighty work. It was so powerful that you can't even describe it in words. It has to be revealed to you because it undid everything that the devil did in Adam. And when you were raised up in Christ, everything that the devil did in you was undone in Christ. There is nothing. You may think that you've sinned too bad. It was undone. There's nothing there. You know, they used to say that. There's no there there. There's no there there. The devil has nothing to accuse you of except his lies. He's lying against the blood. He's lying against the word. He's lying against the truth that has already made you free, that has delivered you. God has done an amazing thing. Amen. And Paul saw it, and he wants you to see what he saw. And when you see what he saw, you get the results that he got, which is supernatural revelation and understanding and wisdom from the throne of God to walk in these things. It's no wonder he went through. If you said to Paul, what makes you so great? How come, what makes it so that you don't quit and throw in the towel? I mean, how many times can you get beaten, shipwrecked, stoned? How many times are you going to, what is it in you? He would say this. Brother, I have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. I believe, therefore I speak. And Paul knew in whom he believed. He knew him. He met him. He went to heaven and fellowshiped with him. And he came back and told us, he saw what happened in Christ. He saw that when Christ was raised from the dead, everything that was done by Satan was undone. He saw that your life, which was undone, was made whole again in Christ and raised up. The power that was released cannot be taken back. I didn't put this in, but turn to Romans chapter 4. I believe it's 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. It says that Jesus, he was delivered for our transgressions. How many of you know if Jesus goes and does something, it gets done? How many of you know, if Jesus is at the right hand praying for you, how many of you know that he knows how to get his prayers answered? Does he know how to get his prayers answered for you? Just a little cooperation on our part is all he needs. That's called walking by faith. It says, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification is from the blood. It's not because you're good, you have more willpower than anybody else. It's not because you struggle harder and you fought through this and did that. No, you can't take any credit for it. As soon as you do, you're not justified. His blood is what justifies. His blood is what qualifies you to be justified. Amen. That's the way I'm going to put that. Amen. Now, here's what justified means. Just as if I never sinned. Yes. Just as if I never failed. Just as if you failed, and you think that you've gone too far, you haven't read this verse the way it was written. You haven't received it in the spirit that it was given. Justified means just as if. When God deals with you, this is what grace is all about. Because God doesn't deal with you as if you are sin, you sinned and failed, but now you're okay. And that he doesn't do it. He deals with you as if you never sinned. That's what grace is. It's a total removal of anything. So he doesn't remember it, you don't remember it, and it's not there. The Apostle Paul even tried to bring his sin up to the Lord once, and the Lord didn't even mention anything. He didn't even react to it. Because Paul was still dealing with something that didn't even exist in the mind of God. And that's when Paul saw it, and he wrote in Hebrews, he purged me from all consciousness of sin. Amen. All consciousness. Just as if I never sinned. Never. That's how God deals with you now. He doesn't deal with you according to your weaknesses. Well, I have this weakness. Uh-huh. Well, I told you to be strong in me and in the power of my might. If you want to choose weakness, you have that right. You can go ahead and be weak. But if you want to be strong, you can be strong. Which would you rather have, strength or weakness? Strength. Tell me one person Jesus said, well, okay, be weak. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, weak, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He will have whatsoever he says. Not what he prays, what he says. God's given you a seat of authority so that when you declare the word, it will be fulfilled. Hey, if it works in the negative, why wouldn't it work in the positive? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you say, well, you know what? It used to be flu season is upon us, and you know, I got to. Don't prophesy that. There's no flu that comes from heaven. No flu. In fact, Dave Ingalls wrote a song about the swine flu, the bird flu, this, that, da, 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 but no heavenly flu ever came. So God doesn't have that stuff. In fact, what he's done with us is lifted us up to walk in the law of the Spirit of life, which is far above all powers, principalities, mights, and dominions, all sickness and disease and everything, all human failure, all human weakness, everything, physical, mental, emotional, everything. There was so much power released in there that you, it made you one with Christ in his seat of authority, just as if nothing ever happened to you. So why would you wallow in that? Why would you want to go back and say, like the ox and the yoke, I need this to be happy. I got to pull this weight. I got to have this burden, this load in my life just to... Cut it off. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is something you see on the inside. It lights up your inner man's eyes. Some translations say the eyes of your heart. Some say the eyes of your spirit. Some say the eyes of your understanding. But whatever it is, it's eyes. And it'll light up. It'll cause you to see yourself and Jesus and the Bible totally different. The Bible will come alive for you. Pray these prayers every single day. Pray those prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ say, Father God. Well, this is too long for that. Father God, this is my request. This is my desire above all things. This is my desire that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of my understanding be enlightened so I know what is the hope of your calling, what you've invited me to, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. What is that inheritance? I ask you to reveal it to me. What is the riches of that glory? What is that? How does that look? What can I do with it? How can I access that and put it to work in my life? And show me the exceeding greatness of your power that you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand, far above all principalities and all powers. I'm not afraid of you, devil. All principalities, all powers and mights and dominions in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and I'm raised up with him, he's under my feet. All things under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things to me. The fullness of him who fills all in all. I am the body of Christ in this world. He lives in me. His truth lives in me. His word is alive in me. His power is in me. The dunamis working power of God. The self-energized explosive power of God. The kratos, which is the resurrection power. And the ischus, which is the muscle behind all of that. Working together. He used all of these in this prayer. And he wants to reveal it to you. Amen. Do you want that?
Yes.
Pray this prayer.
Yes.
Say, Heavenly Father.
Give to me
the spirit of wisdom and revelation
in the knowledge of Jesus.
Flood my inner eyes with your light.
Fill my mind
with the hope of your calling.
Renew my mind
with your truth
to these things
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is so much more to this. It has to do with our identification in Christ, which has to do with ransom. It has to do with the substitutionary work that he did, the moral view, that the revelation of his love, and the blood covenant. The blood covenant. Say this before we break up. Say this. I will see the goodness of God. His truth is my shield.
I will stand in his truth.
And I will see his wondrous
provisions.
I'm going to close with this one psalm. Verse. In Psalm 34, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, it's easy. It's easy to when you're standing on the mountaintop, when there's no opposition, when there's no adversity in your life, to say, yeah, I believe. But it's when you face that adversity, that's when your faith is going to be tested. And that's when you need to decide you're going to stand in Christ, in the Lord, in His truth, His promises. That's when you need to stand. Anybody can stand when things are going good. But when things are not going so good, when you're under the threat of stuff, that's the test of you. That's the fight of faith right there. That's when, and keep it in the area of faith. It's the fight of your faith. Don't get emotionally involved with it. Just give it to the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that good? Did you get a little picture, a little better picture of the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus? And let that be revealed to you. Pray those prayers, and you're going to see your life and the Bible in a whole different light. You're going to realize about there's ability inside of you that has yet to awaken. I'm excited for you if you just do this. Then we can fellowship over a whole lot better things than we have. Father, we thank you for your word, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do in us that pleases you. Thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us, that your word is incorruptible seed. It will reproduce after its own kind, that your word is your life inside of it. Thank you, Lord, the incorruptible seed of life. Thank you for it. Thank you for your word. You know, if you prayed and you haven't seen any results for your prayer, that doesn't mean they're not answered. Before we go, this is just, Lord reminded me of this. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it died immediately, but it didn't look that way for another day. When you prayed, what happened? It severed all the hold of the enemy on your life. It severed it. It may take a little while. Just keep praising God. Just keep praising God. Amen. Just keep praising God. Amen. Just keep praising God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Don't throw in the towel. That's the devil's job. You get him to throw in his towel. That's how you win these battles. Amen. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, I ask that everyone here take your word, and let it root inside of them as they pray this prayer. Take it with them all through the week in Jesus' name, that they be stronger, that they be strengthened with might by your spirit in their inner man, rooted and grounded in the indescribable love to know the far reaches of you, your spirit, your word, to bring us to heights that we've never known before. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer.